Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
From Under the Rock Studios in Los Angeles, California, this is The Strange Chameleon Show, a podcast with style, soul, and sarcasm, along with laughter, love, and listen! Follow them now on iTunes. I promise, you won't, I mean, you will be entertained.
Hello, hello.
Hello, welcome to the Strange Chameleon Show.
Thank you for tuning in. This is The Strange.
Put these good old headphones on.
How are you doing, Chameleon?
I'm doing great. I am doing great. How are you, Strange?
A little bit of a rush, so I'm trying to accommodate. It's weird, you know, when you're like in a rush.
Oh, what were you rushing for? What's the rush?
To sit here on time. Today we have a guest. Her name is Kate Huffman. She's an actress, comedian. She'll be joining us in a little bit.
Beautiful.
And but she can't wait over with where yeah. Typically, you know, all our guests wait.
Apparently, here at the good old studios, there was a flash flood that happened. God works in mysterious ways. No, I'm just kidding. No, it was just a roof issue.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's crazy.
So weird.
Because it looks like a great building. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sure it is, but you just never know. It's the rain and there's water and one little drop.
I'm telling you, it's that acid rain.
It is that
acid rain. It's that acid rain that just melts through steel and it will flood everything. It's crazy.
That's exactly what happened here at LA Talk Radio Studios, apparently. But you know what? I know the other day you mentioned something about the IRS, you know, with the issues of the government shutdown.
Yeah.
They say that we still have to file on time, but
file our taxes
we're not
on time.
Going to get our money on time. I heard that.
But you heard that part.
Yeah, but you got to file on time or else.
Yeah, apparently this has been going on for centuries, so long. And where we file our taxes, but come to find out, they already got it. See, when you put in your social on your business or if you for any job that you have, you put in your social, they keep track of it every time you get paid. And on the end of the year, they got it. They got everybody's file, their 1099, or if it's their W-2, they got it. And then all of a sudden, they're like, you know what? We're going to wait until they actually file. Even though I have it, I'm going to wait. So therefore, we get more money. So they're just greedy little bastards. It's so frustrating. And it's not fair. So now, and they make the free file on their website very complicated. It's free to file. But all the mumbo jumbo and the verbiage is very complicated. And so you're like, oh, I just want someone easy. I want to pay someone to make it easy to file. And that's where all the money comes in and all that. It's crazy.
It's sort of like, you know, with the issues with the roads that we have. We have such small roads, and then they take out those, they have a funny name. They look like pods, right? That help you, they kind of like shake the car when you're steering into the wrong lane.
Okay, are you talking about those reflectors?
Yes, but they're round. So it turns out that especially over towards Palm Springs area, they've already removed them. And it's like you spent so much money and time and manpower putting them in, and now you're removing them.
A lot of tax dollars.
And it's just absurd. But, you know, maybe they helped reduce collisions. And it's a weird way of making the world go round. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Kind of like how these red light specials has been going on. Remember those red light cameras that everyone got tickets over?
But they can no longer do that.
No, I know, because it was a test. It was a test to really see how we react to it and if we really slow down or obey by the law. And we noticed that a lot of people were either complaining because they either had seizures or they couldn't see because it flashed, and then they got in an accident, so they just kind of removed them. But what about all that money I spent on the ticket? Do I get my money back?
You never see a dime, no.
Never see a dime.
But really, they stopped it because a guy sued the city because apparently he was having an affair. So thank goodness for this adulterer. Because he was having an affair and it caught the, and then it caused his divorce, something like that. And so he sued because it infringed on his privacy.
Oh, because it took a photo of him with his lady.
With his mistress.
Mistress, got it.
Yeah, so that's how it really got banned, because he had to, you know, take it to
court
and
you,
prove that there were damages.
Adulterer?
I know, right? Thanks.
Yeah,
thanks,
I really
cheater.
Appreciate that.
If you know, if you're going to cheat, might as well do it for the people, you know? That helped us.
Yeah.
That helped the Republic a little bit. But you know what? You're just discussing about the IRS. I do have to tip my hat off when it comes to the IRS. And
you don't have a hat on.
You're right, I
don't. What are you going to tip?
I'll tip your hat off.
Okay, tip my hat. All right.
When it comes to the IRS and Scientologists, because, you know, the way that it became a religion is because they harassed the IRS. Did you know that?
The Scientologists?
Yes.
Harassed the IRS?
Yes.
Okay.
They harassed. They had
their You've been watching
members,
too much of that Leah Remedy, haven't you?
They had their members sue the IRS. They had over like 20,000 lawsuits on the IRS.
Wow, that's a lot.
So they finally gave in to Scientologists, and that's how it got declared a religion, so that they would be tax exempt because they owed like $1 billion in taxes.
Jeez.
And the IRS can't tax money from all the L. Ron Hubbard books that were sold. But I find that, I mean, you gotta, you know, regardless of our views with Scientology, that was badass.
I mean, they definitely, you know, when there's a will, there's a way. They'll find a way to just push it, you know? You know, and that's makes me want to, like, we should get everyone together and just, like, really push a certain issue. And if more people speak up, who knows, they might not even tax us anymore.
Have you seen the movie?
I highly doubt that.
Have you seen the movie? You haven't. I already know this because I asked you to watch it with me and you never did. From Freedom to Fascism by Aaron Russo. It's
a
documentary.
Yeah,
you did see a little bit of it. So they had these IRS, former IRS employees, you guys, had people that weren't paying their taxes, and then they were actually suing the government. So these people, they had to, you know, kind of be there as jurors, etc. And they realized, wait a minute, you, by law, you don't have to pay taxes. There is no law for it. And
under
so,
the actually, it's
under
the
Constitution.
Remind me, is it the 17th Amendment? No federal tax is supposed to be upon us.
I don't know. Look it up.
Yeah.
So anyways.
Let me see here.
It's one of those amendments, chameleon.
Something
and,
like that.
And it doesn't matter which one. It's in there.
It's somewhere in that. Yeah, I think it's the 17th. If you guys want to correct me, strangechameleonshow.com, send us a message.
So he had people that used to work for the IRS, and they couldn't find people guilty of not paying taxes, because by law, where does it say that you're supposed to? They couldn't find it. So then they learned from these brave citizens taking on the government, the IRS. So they learned from them, and then they began, you know, they stopped paying taxes themselves, and that's how they became former IRS employees. Because they're like, wait a minute, we're working for this agency, but I don't think we've been playing on the right side of the fence here. So they had that awakening. And anyways, that's how they got in the part of, they were featured in the documentary.
Interesting.
It is very interesting.
That is.
From Freedom to Fascism. Look it up, you guys. It's
wow.
It's really good. Yeah.
That's crazy. It just frustrates me. And the reason I kind of was talking about this, because I saw on that television, that one fella, what's his name? Adam knows everything.
Oh, yeah.
And Adam ruins everything.
No, Adam ruins everything, yeah. I don't agree with everything, you know, because, but I I can definitely appreciate the facts. That's for sure.
Oh yeah, no, definitely. He does his research. Yeah. He figures it all out, and then he makes a show episode out of it.
The latest episode that I didn't agree with was with why it's not good to raise your family in the suburbs, because you're not. It's mainly like if you live in the suburbs, it's going to be mainly one race, and you're not going to be as diverse. And I guess I can understand that, you know, we live towards the suburbs, but I wasn't raised there. I was raised, born and raised in the city of L.A., you know, around Hollywood. And so it talks about how, you know, kids don't grow up with that diversity that is very beneficial for your upbringing and, you know, helps you develop being around different cultures. And then when you get older, you kind of rely on either your children to have you to drive around, because you can't get around without a car. And if you can't drive, you're kind of stuck at the house unless you have people like your children when you're an elderly, or your grandkids take you out. So that was the downside that he was pointing out.
I see.
And if you live in the city, you know, everything's more accessible. There's the metro, buses pass every 5 minutes, etc. Things are closer. But, you know, I can understand that side of it. But I don't think that raising your family in the suburbs should be completely, you know, just don't do it.
Yeah.
It's definitely quietness that I appreciate. Like I said, being raised in the city, I was glad to get away from all the noise for once.
Yeah, no, I agree.
But the Women's March was yesterday, Chameleon.
I'm sorry, what was it?
The annual Women's March was yesterday. And now apparently, you're going to love this, they are now turning on each other.
I knew it. I knew they would. Eventually, they'll start strangling each other. I knew it. Now, why is that? Why is that?
Fighting each other. Well, apparently, there is now concern that most of the women that attend the women marches are Caucasian, are white.
Oh, that's racist. That is racist.
You know, it's like, it's weird. It's like reverse racism, isn't it?
Okay, why is it reverse racism? Because who's the one complaining?
Because now the people of color are complaining. Gotcha. The whites here, we don't want these whites. Well, they didn't say that, but it's like there's concern that it's mainly white women and we're trying to be more diverse, but, you know, no one's stopping women of color to join. I myself didn't go, and I haven't. Why? Not because I'm anti-feminism or anything like that. First of all, I've been practicing the art of sticking up for myself, standing up for myself, since before it was cool, okay? Because now it's more appreciated if you're a strong woman, but I've been practicing it back when you were branded a B for doing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've been fearless since the beginning, you guys, okay?
She has.
And I used to attend.
I've known her a long time.
I used to attend these peace rallies and things like that, and I stopped because it really, honestly, doesn't really go anywhere. Like, it doesn't really go anywhere.
Yeah, no, it really doesn't. I mean, you can keep knocking on those doors, and no one will answer.
Really, it's a sad reality, and I'm not trying to discourage anyone, because when I see these young girls joining, it's great. And I encourage it. But I feel like, okay, been there, done that.
Right.
I'm wearing the t-shirt. You know what I mean?
Been there, done that.
That's a Chris Lee Knows Best quote, I believe. Oh, okay. Been there, done that, wore the t-shirt.
Bought the t-shirt.
That's what he said. I'm sorry. Bought the
t-shirt. Jeez.
I got to catch up on my Chris Lee Knows Best episode.
Yeah, I think so.
I think it's like a really fun show, you guys.
No, it is pretty
lame. It's pretty funny.
Pretty lame show.
I can relate to Chris Lee.
Bunch of rich, spoiled kids.
Well, his kids, I think they have a good heart deep down. Like, their intentions are good, you know, but they did raise them in a certain way, which is, you know, I'm taking notes, okay? I'm not going to have my kids have everything. I'm not going to
let them.
You know, I didn't have everything. First of all, my mother couldn't afford everything. So, but it builds character and, you know, depth and all all sorts of things. But anyways, mm-hmm. that's the latest on the annual Women's March. Keep marching if you wish. But
I'll take a rain check on that one. Nah, I'm just kidding.
Our guest will be joining us shortly. But one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about.
Here she comes.
Here she comes.
Here Hello. She comes.
Hello, Kate.
I got you. Hold on.
How did you
have a seat right over there.
I like your bag.
Thanks.
It's a crossbody. I can appreciate crossbodies.
Yeah, there's a lot of benefits to that.
Yes.
It's just something to smell.
I can't hear you.
I can't hear you from all the laughter.
I can't
oh my
hear
God.
You.
There you go. So funny right now. It's fantastic.
You.
This is all for me. It's
my
not
spleen.
For you.
My spleen is just ripped open. Oh, you're too much. No, I'm just kidding.
I didn't
Welcome
know.
To the Strange Chameleon Show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for joining us.
It's a pleasure. We got plastic food on the counter. That's that
we
was
got
unexpected.
Plastic apples.
How do you know it's plastic?
It's musical. It's musical plastic food. And it just like reeks of natural resources.
Natural causes.
Oil. It's definitely yeah. plastic.
It looks okay. This hamburger here. It looks like. Did you ever see? They did a report on food from. It's like junk food.
It looks like a slightly larger
that
White
never
Castle
spoils.
Thing to me. Oh.
Like never Food Incorporated?
Junk food no. never spoils.
No.
Oh,
junk
like
food.
You can store junk a Twinkie food, for about 8 decades.
100 years.
Also
yeah, yeah,
hamburgers, also fries from Burger King and McDonald's.
I believe it. It's a shock that yeah. human bodies still decompose.
Yeah.
You know, you'd think we've got enough preservatives in us to just dig up a grave in 100 years and be like, oh.
Well, that's what's killing us, though.
You know? I think a lot of things are killing us.
Yes, yeah. yes.
And you know,
that's what
life
we gotta,
we tends to do that.
Yes.
We got to take care of ourselves. It's the only body we got, you know?
Yeah.
It's important.
Truth.
But you're from Indianapolis. Is
Correct.
That right?
Yes.
Nice.
Ding! Ring that bell. Ring that bell.
Wherever you dug up that deeply hidden information was successful. Just kidding.
Indianapolis. I went there recently.
What?
Recently, somewhere. No, it Indianapolis, Indiana.
Correct.
Yep. And I forget which. I think it was actually Indianapolis what I went to. And it was because I was training for. I used to do some technician work for ADT.
Oh, that's right.
ADT.
Yeah.
But we had to go
security systems?
The security systems.
I used
that's
to sing
right.
that with my friend in like fifth grade for some reason. It was a call and response. Man, jingles are catchy because yeah. I would go, protected by ADT. And she would go, security systems. So that's the only reason I knew that.
Oh,
so
that's
anyway.
Cool. Yeah, so I went to Indianapolis and it was great.
It's a nice place.
It's
I
a nice
like
quiet
it.
Place,
yeah,
to be honest.
Are you
yeah,
sure
there,
about
yeah.
that?
No, they had
sure.
a really nice restaurant nearby, and I forgot where it was.
That's all right.
It
no,
a,
it's a cool town.
It was cool.
I like it.
Yeah.
Solid place to grow up.
It's quiet, for sure.
They call it a big city with a small town feel.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Traffic was great.
I mean, know.
People
oh my gosh,
are really nice. They're actually
dream.
Not too crazy, like how it is here, you know?
Oh, yeah. People are super nice. Sometimes it's overwhelming, the niceness of the Midwest. It's sometimes I go back and it's jarring, because I consider myself quite nice and I
yeah.
But I just mean like I know I have that Midwestern feel of like generally I'm gonna be friendly to people. You gotta
yeah.
work real hard to make me not friendly, then it can get ugly, but we don't have to go there. But like my neighbor, my parents' neighbor, she's a little younger than me, but when I go back sometimes I'm like whoa, because she's just so like, oh my gosh, hi, wow, so you're back in town, that's so exciting, that's so great, that's so wonderful. So about like everything, to the point where yeah. I'm just like, is this real? But it yeah. is. It's sincere.
It's sincere because yeah, that's where really? That's how small town people are. But if it's people that live in the city, you know they're being fake.
Yeah, except yeah, it's weird. Yeah. I don't know. It's
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, because I notice, you know, small town people, they're just, because nothing really happens. So they're like super excited about everything.
And I feel like if there is cattiness, which of course there is, it's more up front. Because I feel like I've heard some people in, smaller towns in Iowa or something where like that Midwestern friendliness is so, it's all lies. It's all covering up hatred. And I'm like, I don't think that's true where I'm from. It's just legit like, hey, I'm a human and you are too. How cool is that?
Yeah.
Let's engage about that.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Right, okay, let's do it.
And if they have a problem, I guess they're just upfront about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's cool.
That's the way it should
I guess
be.
That's why, you know, they also have this thing where it's like, oh, small town people can be tough, you know. And I think it's a good thing.
So there's a work ethic.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah. And now, what got you into acting or comedy? Which one came first? Was it acting?
Acting came first. Well, my mother was in community theater. So my mom dropped out of college when she was younger and then started doing community theater when I was like 4. And they needed a child. And for a production of Once Upon a Mattress, they wanted to do this little opening where... they have a little girl at the beginning that the minstrel who acts as the narrator of that musical is like telling her the story, and then they slide the bed back and the musical begins. And she tried to get my older sister, who was 6, to do it, and she was so like, I mean, that is just not who my sister and I are opposites, was like, would rather die than do it. And I'm sitting here, this little 4-year-old begging.
Nice.
And she just thought I was too young, but eventually she let me do it. I won some like kids award for community theater for that little role. And then
that's awesome.
I really did. When I was in kindergarten and you had to fill out some survey that was like, what do you want to be when you grow up? We found this a few years ago. I had written and the first is no longer true, but it said, well, actually, neither of these are true. A mom.
That is true.
Sorry. I should tell you what it said first. A mom who does community theater. That's what I wrote that I wanted to be when I grew up. So I don't want to be a mom, but I do want to be an actor.
Yeah.
But I'd prefer not to do community theater. Yeah. So anyway, but I thought that was a hilarious answer. It just shows how much we look up to. Well, we look up to the people we see in our lives. And I just basically wrote down what my mom did.
That's awesome, though.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And so from there, that's when you got afterwards, you got into comedy.
Yeah. Well, oh, sure. Well, so I went and got a BFA in college and acting, very serious, never knew I was even mildly funny.
For those who don't know what a BFA is.
It's a Bachelor of Fine Arts. It basically means, it means you went to a conservatory. It means you were in...
Did you guys get that?
I knew what that
Some
is.
Programs are lovely and some are very intense. I went to a fairly intense one where people were having nervous breakdowns a lot. There were like 20 freshmen when I came in and 4 seniors graduating because everyone else had dropped out or been kicked out the program. They're intense programs. You come out with training, but you come out with scars.
Wow.
Deep scars, psychological scars. And then you come out and you start your professional life. And fairly early after coming to L.A., most of my agents were like, you're cute and funny, which isn't a common combination, which is a lie, one. But two, I was just naively like, oh, sure, okay, whatever you say. So I was just kind of always pushed towards comedy, but still did mostly dramatic with comic tinges of theater out here for like the first 8 years or so, and then kind of really... I was doing stand-up, but then once I found sketch and improv, I really loved that.
Yeah.
And I've been kind of full hog into that for 7 years. Did my Hoosier Roots just come out a second ago?
What?
Full hog?
What'd you call me? Hoosier Roots?
Uh-oh. Hoosier, right? You know what I'm talking about. Who's ear?
What?
Hauser.
Are you guys, are you legit confused by the word Hoosier? No, he's playing with me. He's been to Indianapolis. That's what people from Indiana are called, Hoosiers.
Oh,
well, no, he didn't know that.
I was there really
for like a few days.
No, for a week. But I didn't go out to the public. I was stuck in this building just learning about ADT equipment. It was so I didn't go out much.
People from Indiana are called Hoosiers. It's the Hoosier State. No one knows what it means, really. There's lots of theories.
Gotcha.
The IU basketball team is the Hoosiers, which my dad loved Purdue, so we hated the Hoosiers. But we, it doesn't mean we're not Hoosiers. We are. We're from Indiana. That means you're a Hoosier. And if you go to surrounding states, they use the term Hoosier interchangeably for white trash.
Hoosier, Hoosiers. Hoosier, Hoosiers.
We do. Yeah. There's like signs that are like Hoosier Daddy. You know, it's a lot. A lot of Hoosier.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. I cannot believe how much that just threw you all for a loop. I'm so sorry.
I know. That's beautiful. Fun. I love it. Yeah.
We enjoy curveballs here.
Yeah.
But is it just me or does the sky look purple?
The sky is gorgeous. This view, ladies and gentlemen,
it's all
at home,
chemicals.
We are looking at indigos and, there's some chemicals in there. But whatever, it's pretty.
That's the reason why. I think it's meant to do that so that you can get in trance.
A lot of fruity colors out there.
But yeah, so when you first came out here, was your main goal to be a comedian or?
No, an actor,
An actor.
Yes.
But you were kind of getting pushed over towards comedy.
Right. Well, comedic acting. I mean, there's not a huge, there are specific comic skills to learn, but especially doing sketch comedy. I'm not a big fan of a specific sketch comedy style of acting. There's character work you can do, et cetera. But I think the commitment, the truthful commitment to what your character wants should be the same in both comedy and drama. And, you know, it's usually when we enjoy the comedy more is when we're watching some character as insane as they might be really experience what they're experiencing in that scene. So anyway, I am an actor mostly, and I just do a lot in the comedy world and love it.
Good. Yeah. I know you, something that really got my attention was your show, I'm Too Fat for This Show.
That's my show.
That's your show.
I love the way you just said it. It's like, I'm too fat for this show. It was the best delivery of my show's title I've heard. Thank you for that.
She's been working all week on that one.
Ooh, that was good.
It just came out. But tell us a little bit, because I know behind, and I love the reason behind it and what you're doing with it and why you created it. Go ahead and tell us.
Sure. So the title, I'm Too Fat for This Show, refers to the way I feel about it while writing it. So it's about 20 years of eating disorder. So I've had various intense bouts with anorexia and sort of a functioning non-identifiable eating disorder in between all those serious bouts for several decades. Mm-hmm. And as a result, this has affected every area of my life. Never talked about it ever because it's a very, it comes with a lot of shame because when you express, if you were to, like when you tell someone you have an eating disorder, there's a perception shift in their eyes, whether it's like a judgment of vanity or just, there's a lack of understanding about it, and no matter what. So it's going to shift your perception a little. So it doesn't come up. Never liked to bring it up, but as a result of it, it has affected relationships and friendships and my career and my health, of course, and developed lots of chronic pain as a result of it. And around 2014, I was like in that very, I've been in LA for like 8, 9, 10 years or something, and just feeling that, what am I doing with my life? Why aren't I more successful? All of the things, and I'm in so much pain, I can barely move type of things. How do I make any meaning out of my life? Well, why do we love this? Because I think that there is a service in storytelling. So I thought, all right, I'll attempt to tell my story in a comic way, because it's only through comedy that we can kind of break down walls, right? Preconceived notions and things. Took me 2 years to write it, but I got it written, put it up for some friends in a small reading, then a public reading, and it seemed to be really affecting people. In a way, it was the scariest week of my life. It was like coming out of the closet a little bit. It was like the most terrifying thing, because like close friends never knew any of this stuff about me. But it went great. So anyway, I produced it and been touring with it and stuff. Yeah.
Sorry, I wanted to ask, and were you still going through the eating disorder while you wrote it, or was it?
Yeah, it's not a victory story in the sense of like, this is part of the reason it took like 2 years. Like, I would talk to my cousin about it at one point, and she's like, do you think you have the right to talk about this when you're still like living in it? And I was kind of like, yeah, I think I do, you know? It doesn't have to be So the victory in the show is talking about it. The opening scene, she breaks up with a guy because he wants to cook her dinner and she just can't handle it. She has an anxiety attack. And the whole time I play a bunch of characters. I play, I don't remember how many characters, 18 or something. But the antagonist is the eating disorder who lives on the screen. So there's a lot of technical elements. So it's the story of Kate and this eating disorder getting through life together. And so you can kind of see how the eating disorder is sometimes your very best friend, like the only person around who's there for you, and other times destroying you. So this eating disorder and her kind of go through this journey of life. And then by the end of it, even though the eating disorder's still around and still kind of like defeats her in a boxing match, she's up on a table screaming about it to everybody. So it goes from never being able to talk about it to anyone ever, breaking up with someone she really likes because of it, to being like, guys, we may not have solved it, but let's just talk about it. That's the only way to really connect with one another, because otherwise you're isolated in this lonely thing. Mm-hmm. So that was a long answer to that. Yes.
No.
That's fine.
We're out of time. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, it's been great. See you guys.
Well, I really, really do enjoy, I fell in love with the concept of it because I battled through that when I was a teenager. I started dieting at 13. Mm-hmm. And then at 14, that's when the bulimia started. Mm-hmm. At 15, I had like full-blown bulimia. It was really bad.
Sure.
And I only about two friends knew about it, and one friend really, really helped me through it. And through that process, that's kind of how I found my faith again. But I'm glad to say that I have overcome that, and I've overcome that for, well, several years now.
That's pretty phenomenal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I do know how hard it is, you know, and people don't really know that it's an addiction.
Mm-hmm.
Because, oh, okay, now I had this sandwich. Now I gotta go and do my thing or else.
Do.
And then you feel guilty for throwing up. And then you gotta have it again.
It
and
again.
It's like, oh, it's no, wait, now I'm gonna gain 10 pounds overnight. And it's just such a vicious cycle.
It is. And I go through, an addiction is a great comparison. I talk about it as a form of OCD in the show. I had some OCD tendencies. I had some undiagnosed OCD in my youth and then still have other OCD tendencies. I'm very weird with numbers. But the eating disorders are listed as a separate category in the Diagnostic Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders.
Oh, that's all crap.
But, well, they're their own category, but body dysmorphia is listed as OCD because it is compulsive thoughts, invasive thoughts,
yeah,
obsessive thoughts. It drives you, it instills the same kind of anxiety that people with OCD get from whatever their invasive thoughts might be. Mm-hmm. But for some weird reason, the compulsive behavior that these obsessive thoughts induce, yeah, get put over in this other category that people judge as just like this thing that has to do with vanity. But it's like, mm-hmm, there is stuff, yeah, going on in your brain that is driving you to do stuff even when you know it's illogical. So like, I went far beyond judging, thinking that I couldn't have a career unless I had a perfect body, because that's what I thought when I was 10, because that's, mm-hmm, all you saw. I, mm-hmm, wanted to be an actor. I was a large kid. The only actors on TV in the 90s, the only female actors were bone thin. And I was like, that's just a job requirement. I got to, mm-hmm, figure out how to do that right now, or I won't be able to act. So I went beyond that when I got older. I was like, oh, that's not a thing anymore. But my brain had formed around this cycle of you have to follow this pattern. You have to eat this many calories and work out this many hours. And if you don't, then I would have these like huge anxiety attacks. So it's a hard thing to defeat, whether addiction, OCD, however you want to look at it.
I guess you could say it could be a hard thing to swallow. Right? No, I'm just
kidding. I love it. I love it. High five.
Kabam!
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's a tough pill to swallow.
I can admit that was a good one.
Well, no, all kidding aside, but
No, I know.
No.
I mean, you got to have
a sense
of humor.
Hey, the show's a comedy.
Yeah,
I'm on board.
We're on board. Okay.
You gotta have
I think this will be a perfect segment because
Uh-huh.
Because
suspense.
Yeah, no. There's going to be a lot of cleaning up. A lot of cleaning going on when the Super Bowl is coming up. Are you a big football fan? Or no?
Okay. Well, I don't love the NFL as an organization, nor the concussions and the shortening of lives that the sport entails. Are they a sponsor?
Yeah. No, it's one of our sponsors. A-plus Total Carpet Cleaning. Well, basically, I know Super Bowl is coming up. It's going to get messy, but you definitely want to get all three rooms for $99. Can you believe that? That's a great price.
To clean your carpets.
To clean your carpets. Three rooms for $100.
I'd buy that in a heartbeat. Yeah. I got dirty carpets.
There you go.
So that's why I feel like, you know, if you go to AP, they changed their email now. Right? So it's actually AP. Total cleaning at Gmail.
Just giving away the wrong Gmail.
No, that's not true. aptotalcleaning@gmail.com. Put in SKS and you'll receive over 50% off.
Wow. Over 50% off. Yeah. Three rooms for $100. That's a good deal.
It's a great deal.
Yes.
That had nothing to do with the Super Bowl, though, did it?
No. Well, no, because I know Super Bowl is coming up and people are going to get messy, throw things. So why don't you get your carpets clean before that happens?
Yeah, you should do that.
Yeah, that's all I meant by it. Yeah,
that's all we were trying to.
I was like, did I ruin everything by expressing a mixed opinion on the organization that is the NFL?
No, of course.
I was like, that was a long answer.
You can also clean your carpets for an Oscar party for all of us LA nerds.
Yeah, there you go. A Harry Potter get together party. Sure. Then also, but One of the reviews that I read on your website for the I'm Too Fat for This show was one of the most commanding one-person shows around today, said the Jewish Journal. So if the Jewish Journal likes it.
The kids like it.
The kids like it.
Oh, thanks. Well, if kids like it, they got to be prepared for some F-bombs.
Oh, no.
I don't keep it super clean, but people really liked it. It's been a really cool journey. And it's been like, I've gotten to do it in I don't even know how many cities now, but.
You went to Ireland.
I did. I took it to Ireland twice. The response from people. No matter what your story is, whether you connect to an eating disorder or whether you just connect to an inner dialogue that can be mean to you sometimes, has been so overwhelming that I really think, like I say, it's a present tense show and then I still have the same behaviors and thoughts that happen, but I've come a super duper long way just since doing it. And I do think it all has to do with removing that element of shame around it. Because it's weird. I like have to run around in every city with like postcards of myself in a bikini, which I hate. And I'm like, hey, come see my show on eating disorders.
And the best part, I think, is it's hilarious. You have with Sharpies, you circle all the areas that you're unsatisfied with.
Yeah, man, I did that obsessively at 14. From 14, I'd like watch these liposuction videos and they draw these like circles where the needles go
that's
in.
That's where you got it?
I used to do it all the time. Wow. And then it comes around in the show. It becomes a part of the show, those circles.
And it helps with the performance. You found a positive role for it.
I guess. I don't know, man. But yeah, my when we did those postcards, the graphic the designer of those postcards came up with the idea to do these magazine spoofs, which I loved. So I wrote a bunch of jokes.
I love that. Yeah.
Yeah, and we did a bunch of them. There were like actually four, but in different outfits, and she was like, bring a bikini. We have to do one in bikini. That's what most of them are in. And I was like, absolutely not. No way. But I put it in the bag, and then we had to taken all the shots, and I was like, all right, we can do the bikini, but only if I'm circling all my flaws. And when I got the pictures back, I was like, oh, man, that's the one.
Yeah,
that's the one that tells the story. We have to use it. Oh, no.
And then you have different things around, like how to get rid of your love handles or something like that. They're like
jokes. They're spoofs. Yeah, they're so it's sort of like it's just any kind of like Self magazine or Women's Health.
Oh, How to Hate Your Body in 10 Days, something like that.
How to Hate Your Body at Any Size.
Oh, at any size.
At any size.
So it's like, eat less, hate yourself more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I forget what else. I don't know. There are a bunch of them because we did four covers, so I don't even remember which ones are on the cover that we settled on.
But I love the message that gave, because it's in your face. This is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just being totally upfront about it with a sense of humor, which is super refreshing. Because I know that when I was a 13, 14-year-old girl, I used to subscribe to like 17
sure
magazine.
Did.
And, you know, and I would just feel so depressed because, you know, but little did I know it was, you know, there's some airbrushing and all that.
Oh my gosh, we're so not we are lied to from the time we are tiny about what our value is. And they make $1 million, billions of dollars by making us hate ourselves, by teaching us deeply in our brains to hate ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
They prey on us for the rest of our lives because our brains are forming during those adolescent years.
Yeah.
I play a little neurologist in my show too that kind of unpacks this thing where we see these magazines. I mean, and it's so true. I saw all these actresses, all these magazines, and every single headline everywhere you look is telling you like the most important thing you're supposed to be focusing on as a woman, as part of femalehood, is losing weight before summer, right? Get your body beach buddy, right?
Yeah.
Like it's the same message over and over and over and over again. And our brains just form these tight like, synapses.
Oh, okay. I'll get right on it.
This is your value.
Yeah.
Connect this to that. Value equals thin, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really hard habit to break. So it's why I was like, oh, this is fun to spoof. Yeah.
Yeah.
But there was a weird element to it when I went to Ireland with those postcards and again was running around in the streets, handing them off to people and Scotland too.
Oh, you went to Ireland. You went to Ireland? Has it?
He likes to
I felt like I was back there. Really good job.
He likes to show off his Irish accent.
You want to go to Ireland?
All right.
No, all right, never mind. Never mind. I'm still working. Work in progress.
But it was that I would hand it to people and they'd be so scandalized. It was like, what? And I realized those magazines aren't everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So like in America, it's just a funny, they get it right away.
Mm-hmm.
But there, they like were like, oh my gosh, this woman's handing me a picture of herself almost naked. Where I was sort of like, oh no, this is a joke. This is what all magazines look like in America.
Did you
but
get
they
any
don't
creeps?
Have. No, not really. No, it's a lovely place. It's such a I really love it. Oh, I love that country.
How about some creeps?
Didn't make it to Paris yet.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah.
Any Paris big theater producers, give me a call. Got
we'll
a show for you. I know y'all speak English.
I know you do.
Because I can't do the show in French.
I know. Can you imagine?
I can come up with maybe one line or two of translation.
Yeah.
But we're going to go ahead and let you vent. And
well, not yet.
Yes, right now.
Not
it's
yet.
Fun.
We got to play our a game here. Now, what we did is we grabbed some quotes from famous comedians. And you have to guess which comedian we're talking about.
And there's
or,
like
off
of,
the lines.
Of any comedians, are they all alive or some of them dead? Like this
some
is a huge
are
some
dead.
Some might be dead.
Are they all from planet Earth?
Yes, they are sorry, from planet
it's a big
Earth.
Big universe. I don't know. All right, I'll do my best.
Okay. All right, let's go for it here. Let me pull up some of these.
It's okay if you don't get it.
Thanks. As a former straight A student, a lot of anorexics were straight A students. Just to make that correlation, I do have a lot of anxiety about getting the answers right. No, just kidding. I'm not.
Sometimes I'm kind of afraid to talk to black people because I'm afraid I might say something that sounds racist. Like, sometimes I'm kind of afraid to talk to black people. Who is that?
Is that a Southern person?
No, I was just doing an accent.
Okay,
I don't know.
I'm like, is that a clue? Is it Jeff?
No.
Yeah. You're gonna confuse
He looks
her.
A little Southern.
That's not, I mean, I was like, is that Jeff Foxworthy impression? Because that's
who
not his
it?
Standard call and response line. Wait, give me an initial.
Okay, J.
Two initials.
J-R.
Oh, I don't have it.
Who is it?
no, that's not it.
Yeah, I was like, that's not a name.
No, it's actually John Ross.
Oh, okay.
Have you heard that guy?
I do.
Okay. Yeah, another one, another one.
All right.
Don't, no more accents unless you're doing a for real impersonation, which I am not against. I would take them. I could use the clue.
I agree.
Okay, let me do one
of course,
here.
Hearing your Irish accent may not be that helpful. Anyway.
Let's do one here. The penalty for having sex with a teenage girl should be having to hang out with them afterwards.
It's definitely a man.
Yeah.
Dave Chappelle?
No. Michael J. Schmidt.
Oh, okay.
At Schmidt My Pants.
I just remembered Chappelle did that thing on R. Kelly. He did, like, way back in the day.
Are you watching the
I
R.
haven't
Kelly?
Been, but because I'm have. Hearing all the details from everyone, which is wonderful because I'm overwhelmed by things to watch. So I'm, like, spoil away. I can take all the spoil.
No,
but
I've
I know he did the
up.
Thing of, like, I believe I can piss or something.
Oh, he did.
I didn't know about that.
Yeah.
But, like, forever ago, which is just to underline the point that we've known this forever. But anyway. Okay.
Right. You want
to
do one more?
I'm 0 for 2, so.
You can do one.
See if I can't get one.
All right.
No.
Okay.
I don't want. Wait.
We got one more.
Give me something very obvious. Like, what's the deal with... Ooh, Jerry Seinfeld. I got one. Great.
Okay. We got...
Oh, you were going to do a Jerry Seinfeld. No, now you can't do it.
It should be in the file. I think I did one.
I don't care. Give me something.
Okay. I know. Okay.
Oh, my God. The music is wonderful.
You know, the difference between a tornado and divorce in the South. Nothing. Someone is losing a trailer. What? I don't know. Is that funny?
Nothing. Someone's losing a trailer. I think it's funny. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, the difference between nothing. Someone's losing a trailer. You lose a trailer in your divorce. She's saying, I think this is a woman.
No, it's, I'll tell you. It's Robin Williams.
Would not have guessed that.
Yeah.
I want a lady quote.
I want a
lady
sorry,
quote.
Sorry, there's none of those.
That's right. I forgot we're not funny. I forgot. Sorry.
Yeah.
No, you are. You are. It's just, I only grabbed a few of these.
No, you know what? There was a really funny one. That lady.
Oh,
that
yes.
Showed me.
Okay. All right. We got one. You might know her.
You might.
I just wanted the music to play again.
I'm fairly certain that the only reason I was born crippled was because God knew I wouldn't be able to resist the urge to become a stripper.
She has a great sense of humor about.
Ooh. I feel like I should know this. Okay. Tell me the name.
Allie Bruner.
Yeah.
Just like cerebral palsy, I believe.
Yeah. And that's why it was going to bother me because I was like, I know exactly who this is, but I can't.
Oh, that's cool. Okay.
But yeah.
She seems very funny.
That was hilarious. He told me that joke this morning. I was cracking up. Like, she's just.
Yeah,
freaking,
I've heard some of her
stuff.
She's
a rock star. You know what I mean?
Check her out. Hey, free plug, Riley Bruner.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, real quick, why don't you give some plugs of yourself, and then we'll do a quick ventilator. I don't know if we have any time.
Yeah,
I talked too much. Plugs of myself.
I mean, how can our audience follow you?
Sure. I'm on Instagram at I'm Too Fat for This Show. She's shaking an apple. It's a good time.
Okay.
Facebook. Kate Huffman or I'm Too Fat for This Show. Twitter, Kate. Oh, gosh. Is it a dash or an underscore? I always forget. Kate underscore Huffman, I think. I think there's no
dashes. Try them both.
One of the other is not allowed on Twitter, so it's whichever one's allowed. I also, on March 15th, I'm opening a play at the Rhodes Theater on Magnolia called Friends with Guns. It's really good.
Friends with Guns.
Yeah, getting back into some... drama. It's
nice.
A good,
we're planning
show.
On going shooting again.
Good.
Oh, yeah. So that would be perfect.
My wrist hurt when I last time we practiced.
It's an incredibly good show. It's one of the most powerful scripts I've read in a long time.
No, I'm talking about real gun.
What?
Real gun. You're going to start shooting some real guns.
That's fine. Yeah. No, there will be guns in the play.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah.
Well,
thank you for letting us know.
Yes. They're stage guns. No one's going to die.
No,
at the
I know.
This isn't My American Cousin. No. Lincoln's not going down. Okay.
Well,
thank you
all.
It's been awesome. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for coming on to the Strange Chameleon Show.
My pleasure.
It was a pleasure having you. And, you know, check her out. Check us out, strangechameleonshow.com, and you'll check out all the links.
Thank you so much, Kate.
Hey.
And we're rooting for you.
Thanks. Yes. I'm rooting for you and your maraca breadstick here.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Woo! Have a good night.
Bye.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.